news story of the day is hijacking stats. Hijacking stats are on the up, and Tracker has published the vehicle crime statistics for 2020 with the groups showing data that hijacking is on the rise and has remained prevalent during lockdown, even with a significant drop in total vehicle crime. So they considered July 2019 to June 2020 and across Tracker's more than 1.1 million installed units in South African vehicles. And the statistics reveal that a number of vehicle crime activities rose nationally by 11% year on year, driven mainly by hijacking. Hijacking is up 21%. Meanwhile, the theft of vehicles remained at a similar level to the previous year. So hijacking is driving the increase in this this vehicle crime across the board. And as the country's restricted were lifted, vehicle crime activities have once again increased, with May experiencing a threefold increase in of 62% of average vehicle crime activities, while June was close to the usual levels of 93% of usual crime activities. So, you know, as lockdown lifted, vehicle crime started to increase. What do you guys think about that? I mean, gee whiz, hijacking on the increase.
So, you know, it's funny because we've been following the story for quite a while, right? So in April, we saw the huge dip. But I think what it looks like is, like you said last week when we spoke about this, is I think criminals are finding opportunity in not necessarily hijacking people on the streets, but they can do it in more safe, closed environments in people's homes. And I think that's what's driving this massive surge, is that it's almost safer for them to do it now than it was before.
Safer to steal a car? Oh, my goodness.
It's a sad state of affairs. You know, it's a reality. It's a part of life in South Africa. It's almost to the point where we accept it. It's just unfortunate that it is what it is. And, you know, the only thing that we can do is just be vigilant, you know, keep an eye out, keep your head on a swivel. You know, if something looks suspicious, don't stop.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you've got to be vigilant in your own right. And the latest data also indicates that there's been a shift in the trend regarding the day of the week and the time of the day when hijacking is reported. Hijacking is now prevalent throughout the week, from Tuesday to Saturday, with only slightly less activity on Sundays and Mondays. Doesn't mean you should relax on Sundays and Mondays, because you know, it could happen to you at any time. But hijackings also reported to Tracker throughout the day from 11 o'clock to midnight. Meanwhile, theft, normal theft of vehicles, nothing normal about theft, but anyway, normal theft of vehicles are reported around the weekend and during lunchtime hours. So, you know, hostage taking, which also happens with hijacks, is still a daily occurrence and remains a huge concern in the country. You know, so the furthermore, Tracker's reported a noticeable increase in vehicles being targeted for their loads. So there's another trend, like food or fast-moving consumer goods. You know, when you have a take-a-lot order delivered, they seem to be targeting those vehicles. You know, what do you guys think? Have you heard of any activity like this around your areas?
Yeah, sorry, Wendy. We had one of our staff members take a lot of order at the gate, waiting for security to open up, hit the van. You know, the criminals are opportunistic. They see a van, and they, obviously there's stuff of value inside it. They don't know what it is, but they know it's valuable. So anything that has value is worth stealing.
So
once again, you just normalize it. Just.
Yeah, but it shouldn't, eh? We shouldn't have to use that word normal in the same sentence, right, Wendy?
No, I can't, 100% agree. You know, like systems like Tracker and CarTrack are now becoming so normalized, and it shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be getting these stats on a weekly basis and seeing increases every week. It's really showing more of the problem of the crime situation in the country. That needs to be addressed, and not necessarily the fact that people need to be installing these or having to install these systems.
Yeah.
It's a sad affair.
It is a sad affair. And, you know, anyway, let's move on. It's a depressing thought.
Yeah.
all the time. Well, here's a better thought. Sorry, Lawrence.
Too depressing for a Monday.
Exactly. Too depressing for a Monday. Well, if you're listening to this on a Friday, we recorded this on which day did we record it on? But it's airing on the Monday. But you can listen to it at any time. You can even listen to it at 1 o'clock if you can't sleep. The average value of a new car financed hits 350,000 rand. Now, Auto Trader has just recently put out our car industry report, the Auto Trader car industry report, and you can go to reports.autotrader.co.za and go and download the latest car industry report, which ends which takes into account the year ending June 2020. So the report is really fresh. The data inside the report is really fresh. And from a secondhand used car point of view, we saw the average price of a used vehicle at what, Wandy? You're up. 200.
It was 289,000 rand, if I'm not mistaken.
Wandy knows his stuff, yes. About 9,000 rand up year on year, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So slight vehicle price inflation from a used car point of view. 289,000 rand is the average price of a used car sold over the last year. But when it comes to new car, the average price of a financed new car is about 350,000 rand. Now, it goes without saying that, when a consumer opts for a used car, he's probably doing it for cost reasons. It's you can get a lower priced, higher spec used car than you can for new. So it doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise you guys that the average price of a new car is financed is 350,000 rand?
Not in the slightest, especially if you look at the top 10 most sold used cars. You'll see that they are a little bit spec'd higher or more expensive cars to the top 10 most sold new cars. So just to your points, I think with the used car, you get better value for money. But of course, there's pros and cons to both.
Absolute pros and cons to both. So that's the average price of a used car, and this information comes from NAMSA. New vehicle sales declined by 29.6% to 32,396 units compared to July last year. July this year, and this shows some level of improvement in the context of June, which was down 30.7% year on year for the market, with market volumes at 31,867 units. So new cars still squarely under pressure, and the average value of a new car financed is about 350,000 rand, which has increased in July 2020. Since July 2019, which was at about 325,000 rand. So the average price of a new car financed increasing by over 25,000 rand in the last year. Moving on to safe cars as opposed to prices of cars. What are the safest cars to drive in South Africa for under 200,000 rand? Because again, if you look at the report that Auto Trader released on reports.autotrader.co.za, you will notice that we talk about a surge in car search for vehicles under 200,000 rand. I mean, consumers are under pressure at the moment, and the surge is evidence of people looking for cheaper cars. Doesn't mean that there's no search for cars over 200,000 rand. What are the safest cars, Lawrence, to drive in South Africa for under 200,000 rand?
Okay, so the AA recently released a report. They took a broad spectrum of vehicles under 200,000, which is mostly your A0 and A0 and 01 class vehicles, which are, you know, your entry level cars. And they basically collated a bunch of information and put together a list. And the Peugeot 108 came out on top.
Wow. A French car.
Yes, because it has 6 airbags and it's been NCAP tested. And it has ABS and, you know, all the safety systems that you would normally find in a higher spec vehicle, but it's in a lower spec vehicle.
Wow.
The report, it caused some waves in the industry with a bunch of the other OEMs saying that the data set used to compile the report was slightly flawed.
How so?
Saying that some of the vehicles were not NCAP crash tested, so the scores that they were given were wrong. and that certain factors were not taken into consideration, like the materials of construction of the vehicle, using high tensile steels or crush zones made of aluminium, et cetera, et cetera. I sort of sit on the fence because I see what the AAA was trying to do, say these are the cars that are going to be the safest for your money. And then I'm also hearing what the OEMs are saying, like, yeah, you guys are sort of right, but you've forgotten to mention these things or take these things into account, which could shake up that list quite a bit.
Okay.
You know, there were some of the vehicles that scored very, very poorly. And, you know, having driven one or two of them, I can say might have been a little bit unfair. They might you know, if they'd taken other things into consideration, it might have pushed the car up a category or down one. But yes, it's a very interesting reading. I think the report is up on Auto Trader, under the news and views. You can go and have a look at the listing that was put there.
Well, thanks, Lawrence. And you go and decide. But basically, the cars that fell into the top category, which apparently has an acceptable safety. Who got an email? Somebody got an email. Somebody. It's for you. Acceptable safety was, as Lawrence rightly pointed out, the Peugeot 108, Toyota Etios, Toyota Ego, VW got into the list, and Suzuki Ignis, Datsun Go, Honda Amaze, and the Kia Picanto. So go and take a look at the list. Those are the ones that have, according to this particular study, the safest or acceptable safety standards. Consider what Lawrence is saying. You know, have all the factors been taken into account, and you decide. At the end of the day, you've got to drive the car. You've got to do all the research. And I don't think it's a bad thing for the AA to have put out a report like this, because at least then the discussion, I suppose, gets going. Then, Wandi, reporting your car when it's been in an accident, or should I say reporting an accident when you've been in the car. There's apparently a new way to do this. What can you tell us about reporting accidents? Because in my belief in the past, you had to go to the traffic department when you had an accident, right?
Correct. So the kind of known way of reporting your car is to essentially within 24 hours, you have to go to the police station and report that it's happened. This is for insurance reasons. This is just essentially to protect yourself and ensure that the stats are in, everyone's sort of, you know, the incident is taken care of. But now, because of lockdown, this has caused safety concerns as well as convenience concerns, because we can't just naturally just go out and do whatever we please.
Yeah.
So essentially, the Road Traffic Management Act, the National Road Traffic Act, has kind of introduced this new process where you can report any accidents or incidents on the road online. But because of this, there are some limitations. So obviously, if it's a massive accident, you can't do that. And I think it's up to an accident that has less than 5 cars qualifying for this system.
Okay, that's very interesting. So so what is this what is this website that you can go and report an accident on?
It's basically the natus.gov.za. Yeah. There's a link that we'll just attach after the show. But essentially, that's kind of the platform or the portal where you can go and report anything that happens on the roads. It's pretty simple to use. It's straightforward, and it just allows for a lot of convenience for people who, you know, have to ensure that they, not just their safety, but the people around them, safety is taken consideration when something like this happens.
I'm on the website now. So the URL is online.natus.gov.za/crash/#/online-crash-report. Okay. But we will post that so that you can click on it, because that's a bit of a mouthful. But it opened pretty quickly. Not bad. I don't have a bad internet connection at home, so you should be able to open this quite easily. And it starts off by giving you a couple of terms and conditions under crash reporting. And then at the bottom starts to ask you a couple of questions. These questions are, if you are sure that the crash you are reporting on complies with the terms and conditions above, those terms and conditions are, there's 8 of them, click accept and continue. And before you click accept and continue, was any person injured or killed in the crash is a question, because you can't report yeah if there was somebody injured or killed. And then was this a hit and run? If it was a hit and run, then you also can't report it yeah. And then the number of vehicles involved, 1, 2, 3, or 4. And if more than those number of vehicles were involved in the crash, you also can't report it here. So so this site is very clear on what you can and can't do. If you're outside of those three questions, you have to go to the police station, right, Wendy?
Correct. So it's only for really minor damage crashes. So yeah. Basically a fender bender or, you know, something really tiny.
Fender
bender. And yeah, essentially there's those conditions. On top of that, you do have only 24 hours to use the system. And it's important to know or understand that this is binding. So you can use it for insurance, but more importantly, everything that you put across can be used against you or for you. Yeah.
Just like when you fill in that unreadable form when you go exactly. to the police station to report, right? All of that exactly. information gets stored and gets used in any disputes. But you do get a case number, I'm assuming, and you can use it for insurance purposes. Makes it life a hell of a lot easier than having to go down to your nearest police station, because that's the current requirement. And as Wendy said, you have to, legal requirements, report a crash within 24 hours or the next working day.
Correct.
Working days, remember, are not Saturdays, Sundays, or public holidays. So there you have it. I think that's a really good initiative. I think well done to Natus for doing that. And we opened the website. Seems quite fast.
No, speedy.
Speedy. Have any of the two of you ever suffered from, or I'm not going to ask you if you are a road rager, but have you ever suffered from somebody with road rage?
I have, yes.
Okay. Give us the story. Give us the lowdown.
Many, many, many moons ago, and I'm talking back in the 90s, shortly after I got my driver's license, I was driving down a main road and was chased by a gentleman in a bucky who seemed to think that I almost ran over his kid, who happened to be jaywalking across the road. He then chased me down, pushed me off the road, and proceeded to smash my driver's side window. So, yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it.
Wow.
So road rage is a very real thing, and it's you could be a victim of it, or you could be the perpetrator of it.
That's very true. Wendy, have you perpetrated?
I've never been a victim of it, but I must admit, I do get a bit
angst.
Hyped up on the roads, but I never put anybody's life in danger. It's always just within the cabin of the vehicle where I scream and shout.
That's your outlet. Well, you know, you'd be surprised that, you know, many people, when they get in a car for some reason, and I don't know why it is, their personality changes. They become invincible. For some reason, a car turns people into invincible Hulks or something, because I don't know whether they think they're protected and they're in the shell and suddenly they're the incredible Hulk, not well, and invincible Hulk, and then get themselves into situations. I suppose, you know, screaming and shouting and swearing like Wendy does inside his car and, you know, not nobody else sees it is okay. It's safe. It's an outlet. But the moment you start to take that further, it can get you into some serious trouble. And one gentleman in the United States decided to take his road rage out on a vehicle that was autonomous by Waymo. So this vehicle did not have a driver inside. And the Waymo camera caught this guy by the name of Tang swerving in and out of the lanes in front of the Waymo autonomous vehicle, and then eventually brake tested it. And you know what brake testing is, right?
Yes.
Brake testing, I think it all kind of, you know, same thing.
And then proceeded to cause an accident. So Mr. Tang was arrested. And
I think what's interesting about the story is that he was actually an operator for Waymo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it feels like he knew the system. He knew what he was doing. I think more than just rage or anything like that, he was just being silly. And you know, Lawrence is busy telling us a story about people who play around with robots. And this is exactly it. I think this person was just silly.
This sounds like something that would have happened in the south of America with the guy going, "Here, Jeb, hold my beer and watch this. I know this vehicle. Watch this." You know, and of course, you know, showing off to his mates.
I don't know if it was so much just a prank because Mr. Tang was a former operator, as you rightly pointed out, but he was fired from his role at the contractor. And you know, when someone's disgruntled, is it a joke or is it road rage?
Yeah, maybe he was trying to make some money on the side. Oh, my neck.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. I don't know so much.
Only in
so
America.
only in the United States.